Off the ball
on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
So the big results from the last few days. Leinster's 34-24 win over Munster yesterday. That result keeps Leinster second in Conference B of the Pro 14. 2 points behind Scarlets, who beat Ospreys yesterday. Munster are now 12 points behind Glasgow in Conference A. That's despite the leaders losing to Edinburgh on Friday. Connacht's 44-16 hammering of Ulster on Friday was probably the standout result of the last week. Connacht are now little edging into the frame a bit for a playoff spot. They're now 6 points off third place Cheetahs in Conference A, although the Cheetahs do have a game at hand, while Ulster are third in Conference B. Keith Wood is on the line. Keith, thanks a million for joining us. 68 points yesterday, 8 tries, over 26,000 people watching in Thomond Park. Not a bad way to blow off the Christmas Day cobwebs.
No, it wasn't. And definitely from a Leinster perspective, they blew them off a bit better than Munster did. But it was, I mean, you know, people say that those games are they're just a way of getting people together again, but that was a full-blooded contest. Fantastic performance with Leinster winning away.
I guess we want to maybe start with one of the moments of the season so far before we get into the meat and drink of the game. That Jordan Larmour try, I can't think of a better individual try that I've seen this season, unless you compare it to the one that he scored at Kingspan Stadium against Ulster. I mean, the sidestep, the acceleration, the audacity to try things from deep areas of the field. It looks like he is the real deal.
Well, he has a step, which is pretty good. And, you know, I'm often a little bit slow to kind of talk up young guys. You know, you want them to do very well, but, you know, they're going to do well. They're going to make mistakes. Then you don't want to build them up too much. He's got gas. And what he seems to not do is he doesn't seem to slow down when he's having a sidestep or a jink. He seems to continue his pace, which is very impressive. So I thought the sense of what he knew what he wanted to do. He saw the gap. It was a tiring defence that had worked really, really hard during the game. There was a couple of gaps and he took them. And he highlighted players that were... Keatley got in a kind of bad position. He showed him both shoulders, which is all you want for a young fella that's running fast. And he knew exactly what he wanted to do. Great step off his right in that instance. And look, he showed huge gas. It was a fine, fine score. I thought he played well as well. It wasn't just that score. He looked confident from the off.
Yeah, obviously to be an elite level fullback in years to come, he's going to have to show an awful lot more than just this incredible attacking game. He needs to get his defence right, his ability under the high ball, and all that needs to be proven as well. But this is definitely something, as a 20-year-old, you would never want to see experience being coached out of a player, that you would hope that he will take these chances and have this kind of gas and a willingness to go at defenders in his late 20s as much as he does at the moment.
100%. That's all you want for a young fella is... have a go, and the responsibility for doing other elements of the game fall on the other players. When you're a young guy and you're coming into a squad, you just want to be able to express yourself, and that's exactly what he did. I've been waiting to kind of watch him get a full go. This was a full-blooded contest, as I said, and he went and delivered on it. I thought it was excellent and looked good. He looked comfortable. He wasn't out of his comfort zone at all. And like, he's going to make mistakes and mistakes and mistakes. But he's 20 years of age and he can do that. We want to see more of that.
OK, so what were your overall thoughts on the game? Did a 10-point win flatter Leinster, or do Munster get a lot of... did it flatter Munster, rather, or do they get a lot of credit for the way they came back into it?
Yeah, I would have said 10 points was about right. And because in the manner in which Munster came back in the second half... too much turkey on Christmas Day, whatever it was, Munster didn't start right. Their level of intensity and performance wasn't up to scratch. You can actually see a little bit of a difference in how Leinster are able to change a lot of their players and still have an incredibly strong team. Munster, the key players for Munster yesterday were the players that have played for the last few weeks for Munster and all those big, huge games and for Ireland beforehand, and they haven't had a rest. And no excuse in that. I just think it shows the difference in the strength of depth between Leinster and Munster. And they just didn't get up to the pace. And I thought Leinster were just clinical in the first half, played really, really well, took their chances well, exposed players very well and took their scores, you know. And, Munster came back and I thought played very well. And with a little bit more savvy, could have actually got another bonus point, maybe even get a win. But look, I think Leinster were the better team for 60 minutes of the game. There was 20 minutes where Munster were on top.
Is that how you would sum up the game then? Leinster better in their first half intensity, so therefore took full advantage of a sluggish start from Munster, and then their clinical manner in which they executed the opportunities that came their way. They pretty much scored off everything that came their way in the first 40 minutes, which isn't going to happen every day. Munster just were punished for every mistake.
Munster were punished, punished for poor defensive line speed, I thought, at times. I thought Leinster's defence in the second half, when Munster were on a roll, and they were on a roll, I thought Leinster's defence was excellent. With the exception on a couple of occasions of James Lowe actually came in. You know, he's only new into the Munster side or Leinster side. There was a bit of a disconnect between him and 13, and came in when he shouldn't have on a couple of occasions. And the Munster players were able to read the shoulder coming in and passed out to score in the corner. There was two scores in the corner, but I thought it was a fine game. I thought Nigel Owens had a fairly loose game, and I would say loose on both sides. I don't know that he reflected anything in terms of the result in any way, shape or form. But I could see elements of it were a bit frustrating. There was a bit of crossing. There was a couple of hits in the air. I think Andrew Conway was lucky to stay on the field. I know he got a yellow card. He could have got another one later on in the game, which would have been two, which would have been a red card. And in my view, was. He also criticised James Lowe for raising his knee when he was jumping to catch the ball. That's what we were always trained to do, is to protect yourself by jumping with your knee up into the air to make certain that you're fine. And you shouldn't be hitting the air anyway. So I just thought he was a little bit loose, but I thought it was a cracking game. I mean, silence for 40 minutes, but after that, a cracking game.
He seemed to believe it was a cracking game as well. There was a couple of wayward remarks on the ref mic. I think at one stage he said to one of his officials, "This game has gone up a couple of levels in this second half." And he said, "Oh my goodness," as Lamore was breaking past two or three Munster defenders and streaking virtually the length of the field. So he was almost like he was being caught up in it as well.
Yeah, well, I think there's an element for that. I will say he's my favourite referee. I think all the games he officiates on, there seems to be a slightly different standard to the spirit of it, and I like that, you know. And I do think that is better for the game to have that flow on it. But I would have picked up on a couple of things that I wouldn't be happy with. I did think there was crossing for that try.
That first Leinster try.
Absolutely. I thought he made contact with it, and he said, well, he just continued his run. Well, you can't continue a run and knock into somebody. So that, for me, was a penalty. And as I said, I did think Andrew Conway was lucky to stay on the field.
The overall sense that you get from a Munster point of view, but you've kind of referenced it briefly already, that it was an illustration of how the strength and depth available to Leinster far outweighs that Van Graan has available to him at Munster. And it was pretty much Munster's best 15 if you take Simon Zeebo out of it, Niall Scannell. So say, all things being equal, if it was a Champions Cup quarterfinal, those two would probably come into the 15. So big picture-wise, is it a worry for Munster that Leinster, with all these changes and all this youth that's being sprinkled throughout the 15 in a derby away game, that they were able to beat them by 10 points and score so many points?
Is it a worry? I think it's a fairly consistent state of affairs as opposed to a worry, and you can't kind of worry about it too much. You just have to go and deal with it. I think Keith Earls would be in that mix-up as well of a starter. I think it's a reality that Munster have done pretty well this year with strength and depth when they've needed it with injuries. But you need to have a really strong bench if you're to be able to deal with the big games. And we've said this before on the show, that at times some of the Pro 12 matches are of a lower standard. Against Leinster is not one of them. And it's hard because you're playing at home. You want to have your full team out because this is a big game to have. But you can see it, that it takes a lot out of the players. So like, there's no excuse in that. I would say that Leinster have a better squad, a better sense of depth in the squad, and have a pipeline of talent that's coming through that is the envy of most teams anywhere. So Munster's job is to, in the years ahead, and say the year 1, 2, 3, 5 years ahead, is to start highlighting their own pipeline and to work on that, rather than bemoan the fact that Leinster have more coming through. So, I think it's a reality of the situation, and that doesn't mean that Leinster will always win, and it doesn't mean that Munster won't be able to contend at the end of the season. But for Munster, they're looking to make certain that they have very few injuries and that they keep some level of freshness. And one thing you saw yesterday was, well, you had the freshness of youth yesterday, which was impressive. They looked fast, you know, and I even go back a long time for me playing, but we used to play three matches in a week, and I was described, I asked the coach asked me, what was it like to play three matches Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday? And I said, I'd sprint in the first one, I'd jog in the second, I'd walk in the third. Now, it's not the same as that anymore, but you're looking at young guys, fresh, with no miles on the clock, and they just looked like they had an extra gear yesterday.
Yeah, a dozen changes made from the side that had beaten Exeter in the second of those two Champions Cup games last time out. So Munster, you think, are going to have to shuffle the deck when they go to Kingspan Stadium for this game with Ulster, and they can't possibly continue with that bulk of players that have played these festive fixtures if they're going to try and retain that level of freshness that they're going to need heading into those crucial games against the two French sides in January.
Yeah, I think so. And I think when you look at how Munster are playing, some of the players are just so important to them. And you could see it with Conor Murray staying on for 72 or 3 minutes, that, you know, they know how important he is to the team. I thought Gibson Park was a bit ropey, actually, for part of the game. But, you know, he grew into it as it went along. You know, it's just harder for Munster to make some of those big selections. You know, Peter O'Mahony is going to need some bit of a rest. CJ Standard carries such a huge amount of games, or of ball in games, that some of their big players are delivering for them all the time, and that's their job, but they can't do it 35 times a year. That won't happen and can't happen. So look, it'll be a mix up, but as to what happened, but then it's the onus is on the other players that are in the squad to say that if other teams like Leinster in particular are upping their game with younger guys coming on, well then for the guys that step up to the field for Munster next week, they have to step up as well, and they have to make certain that they give a level of performance. And look, that's just the reality of it too. And I don't bemoan it too much, because I think Munster and Leinster will be in the nether regions of both competitions, hopefully, at the end of the season, and they just want to be in a position where they can be as sharp and as fresh as they possibly can. Like, that is the big ask, because the level of performance of both these teams has been excellent for the whole season. So they need to continue that up a little bit.
Joe Schmidt would have been a very keen observer of this game yesterday, and looking at the Leinster pack and how youthful it was, they started James Tracy, James Ryan, Dan Levy and Jack Conan all together in that eight. I wonder how much more did they need to do to actually be a real live bone of contention and discussion when it comes to not just electing the provisional Six Nations squad, but how close they might be to actually getting some meaningful game time in this upcoming Six Nations.
Well, if I look in those three players that you talk, Dan Levy has been fantastic. I mean, every time he comes on, he has big game moments. He does something that turns it. He was bristling with passion for the game yesterday. You could see him bellowing when he'd get a turnover. You know, it's he's in a very tough place to try and get a jersey, and he is doing everything he can. I think he is the closest of those three. James Ryan is picking up a lot of injuries at the moment. He is, and I said this about 3 or 4 months ago, he, for me, is one of the big shining lights of the future. And I normally want to rush guys in, and I don't want to rush him in. I think he is beyond brave, but he's big, and I don't know that he's fully grown into his body yet, so he just needs a little bit of minding. But I think he's a really, really big name for the future. And James Tracy, you know, his darts were pretty good, his scrummaging, they were under pressure, I thought, in the scrum. For me, he would be the third in that list of three. He needs to take the ball on at some level of pace, because at the moment he's kind of sidestepping. He's catching the ball first, then sidestepping with no pace. He's getting bashed around a bit because he's not the biggest of guys. And if he isn't, he needs to be running onto the ball. And so they're all things that you learn. But can I just say, in terms of the young guys that go and they play in a Munster-Leinster game, there is a standard and there is a passion and there is an intensity to those games that they won't get in ordinary Pro 14 games. They just won't get them. So this is a big step up for them. So they will learn an awful lot from it, and so will the Munster players as well. They, you know, any of the younger guys that are getting to see this first, when they do things wrong, when they're put under a huge amount of pressure, because the pressure is higher, they will learn an awful lot from it, and so they'll all be better for that. And that's one of the great things when you look at Leinster at the present moment in time, is that they're able to blood these players in big games. And in the example of yesterday, they got the win.
One more question on this game before we move on to Connacht Ulster. James Lowe, he started yesterday, looked very comfortable. He made the try, obviously the penalty try, after he was impeded by Andrew Conway. And this little touches here and there give a real insight into the kind of talent that he's brought to this Leinster squad. But as we know, 3-2 won't go when it comes to your Champions Cup matchday squad. Jemison Gibson-Park and Scott Fardy are the two overseas players that are generally thought to be in there. How far does Lowe need to go in terms of his performance level to actually give Leo Cullen such a headache that he's going to switch his sub-scrum half and bring James Lowe in?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that is the big question. I think Scott Fardy is essential for Leinster. I think he offers an awful lot. He's a bit of grunt, but he gets through a huge amount of work. Gibson Park, there's a bit of something different in there, but I don't think he'd be sitting that comfortably with it. But for Lowe offers something. He has gas. He has undoubted footballing skills. I thought defensively he was caught out a couple of times. And so I think he just needs to get into it. He has played a full season. You know, there's no harm for him to be able to see what's going on as well at the same time and get himself up to speed and have a little bit of a rest himself. But yeah, I think it's interesting to see what Leo's going to do on that, whether he could be the game breaker. He has that capacity. So he is a card that they can have in their pocket.
It would obviously involve a major call in terms of his replacements in one of those huge Champions Cup ties in the coming months. Moving on to what happened on Friday, 44-16, Connacht absolutely blowing Ulster away. At the sports ground, a couple of tries from Alton Delan, Bundy Aki and Tiernan O'Halloran on Masterson's, Jared Butler all got on it on the score sheet. Personally, I didn't see this coming, Keith. I'm not sure if you were the predictor of such a one-sided game, but this was Connacht at their absolute best, and unfortunately, maybe more specifically, without retracting from what Connacht achieved, Ulster at their absolute worst.
Well, my skill at predicting results is not great, if we're to be honest, but I am. In looking at that, I thought they'd do well because they're at home, and I actually think they've built on a level of confidence. I was chatting to one of my friends who had been up at one of the Challenge Cup games, and he just said they're a breath of fresh air when they get it right. I do think that Keane has brought a bit of extra pragmatism. They're playing a better, and that's a better style of rugby, a different style of rugby, where they're running a lot but not running everything, and that pragmatism is what's needed, but you still have that sort of slight madness that they had from running from everywhere. But for me, Ulster are struggling and have struggled for an awful lot of the season, and they have tried to dig themselves out of a hole for the last while, and the level of effort that has extracted from them, I think, put down this performance. So that, again, they seem to have a lot of players, but they don't seem to have that strength and depth when they need it, when they need to get away from home and try and get a win. And I don't know that they got their head around the game, and Connacht did. So you can just see the difference to having a bit of extra confidence. Connacht have won a couple of games. They're suddenly feeling better about themselves. Not everything is awful, because they had a hard run and things weren't going well for them. And they, as we've seen for the last couple of years, have an ability to score when people just don't concentrate. If you don't concentrate against Connacht, they'll run from wherever they have to. They have ball players in the forwards and the backs, and they're quite willing to have a cut.
Do you think that they can now start looking at their season with an awful lot more optimism? They'll be in the knockout stages of the Challenge Cup, and maybe right now that's their best avenue to Champions Cup rugby. But that win has left them just 6 points off the Cheetahs, albeit the Cheetahs have a game in hand. Like, it looked an absolutely lost cause in terms of them making the playoffs a month ago. Maybe not quite so much now.
No, I think they need... Look, they've a new coach coming in. It's just not easy. Sometimes it can be, sometimes it isn't. They've had a lot of injuries where they've had none. And we've touched on this again often before. Their confidence is up. They'll want to try and win everything and see where they can go with that. So they need to try and go Pro 12, get that in their head, blitz the next few weeks and see what that kind of delivers to them. And they can catch up pretty quickly in that instance. And all it needs is a run of form. and they have a bit of confidence now and a bit of form.
Right, before we let you go, Keith, I want to I don't really want to get into the games on New Year's Day, because there, as we've already discussed, there's going to be so much surgery performed to each of the four teams. But let's just give the fixtures. Leinster host Connacht at 3:15. Munster travel to Belfast to face Ulster at 5:35. But a story that broke today, the French have sacked Guy Novez. He's the first French coach in their history to be sacked before the expiration of his contract. This is good news for us, isn't it, given that we have them up first up and Jacques Brunel only has, what, 12 weeks, less than that, to get his feet under the table?
Yeah, he's 4 weeks to get his feet under the table. Jacques Brunel is a good seasoned coach. He coached in Italy, did he, up to 3 or 4 years
team,
ago?
Yeah.
And he's a good hard-nosed coach. I was disappointed for Guy Novez. He played the most beautiful style, or coached the most beautiful style, in that cracking Toulouse team in the mid-90s, and then on for another 10 years or whatever it was. I felt his time would have been in sort of 2005, 2006 to get this job, and he didn't. He kind of got it much later on in his career. It hasn't worked for him. He is a guy that expresses himself with fluid rugby, yet French rugby is anything but fluid at the moment, with the exception of La Rochelle. It is about huge, big, hulking forwards, mostly from the Southern Hemisphere, who are bashing people down. Bring on another group of them with 20 minutes or 30 minutes to go and do the same, and be pragmatic, kick your kicks and win. And so there's a huge stark contrast with the way the club game is in France to the way we all had a thought and a view of what French rugby should be like. And Guy Novez was the man to bring that French rugby back, and it hasn't worked. And it's been hard, because nobody's playing that brand of rugby anymore. So for Ireland,
it's hard to know whether this enhances or detracts from our chances of winning in Paris in February. Yeah. Maybe it actually puts us at a slight more of a disadvantage, because that brand of rugby that Guy Novez was going to play, would hope that would they would play, that might necessarily be enough to beat us. But if we go back to that hard-nosed Brunel type game, we might struggle with that.
Well, I thought Brunel tidied up Italy at the time. He brought in other players. Now in France they have players. That's the difference to Italy. They have a lot of players that they can bring in. He can tidy up the game, make them very difficult to beat, put in a decent defensive structure, and they will have 23 players in a squad that could beat anyone. And it's whether you can give them a game plan that lets them express themselves a little bit and gets the crowd on side. And you know that when that happens, France can be really, really difficult. But I don't know whether I'm living in the past thinking about that with France. I mean, the one thing we know for certain in France is that there's going to be some level of carnage. So here it is, a few weeks out before the Six Nations, they're changing their coach. And I didn't know that. First time in their history that they sacked a coach. And so they're quite happy to put up with an awful lot of rubbish, and they haven't in this instance. So I think it'll make for something very, very interesting. I feel sorry for Guy Novez. You don't like to see people losing a job, and especially somebody who has had such a huge impact on rugby.
Off the ball
on News Talk, in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.